Actually, before we even get to the doctors, I want to start with some of the patients, because these were the first people to actually realize that something was wrong. People like Karina Baxter of Burton. Karina actually reminds me a lot of my mom. They're both in their mid-50s. They're both retired teachers. And Karina's house was famous in her neighborhood for always having a ton of rescue pets and local kids running in and out of the house. So one morning in September, Karina wakes up and she's got this weird, intense pain. She had always had chronic back pain, so this wasn't unusual. But usually she could just handle it with these regular steroid shots that she gets injected into her spine. So even when she checks into the local hospital, just to be on the safe side, her daughter, Anita, is really not that worried. With chronic back pain, this kind of thing happens every so often. On the morning that Karina is supposed to go home, her daughter, Anita, gets a call. It's the doctors. Her mom has had a stroke, and she's effectively brain dead. There's nothing more that the doctors can do.
So I went upstairs to her room, and it was... I don't even know. When somebody's on life support, you can tell that they're not there. There's just something about it. Like, she's still my mom. She still looks like my mom, but you could tell she wasn't there.
And around the same time, over at St. Joseph's Mercy Hospital in Ann Arbor, Dr. David Vandenberg gets his own call. It's the Brighton Pain Clinic, not far from St. Joseph's. It's the same place Anita Baxter got her pain shots. And the clinic is calling David Vandenberg to say, "Hey, we share a lot of patients with you guys. We wanted to give you a heads up because we've made a discovery. It turns out we have injected 800 of our patients with these contaminated shots." Dr. Vandenberg knows that this is not good, but at the most, he thinks maybe 30 people are going to come in with symptoms. This is not going to be the last time in the story that Dr. Vandenberg is wrong.
So what happened? You know, 300 patients came in. That was the craziest time because we were running out of space. Our ER was running out of space. It's like a bus accident or something. You're not usually ready for that sort of thing.
Actually, at least with a bus accident, doctors know what to do. But they have never seen this strain of fungal meningitis before. This is a fungus that is only supposed to attack plants. And now it has been injected deep into people's bodies. To top it off, the only tool really at St. Joe's disposal is the antifungal medicines, which are toxic. Literally, the side effects can be lethal. For patients like Dirk Thompson, that meant temporary paralysis, heart palpitations, and days of vivid hallucinations.
And then the doctor came in and said, "Look, you know, you have a choice of either trying this again or not trying it, and you have a chance that you won't survive this because the fungus will overtake your spinal column." And I can remember saying to her, "What the hell kind of choice is that?"
It was a crummy and scary and unfair choice, but it was the only one that they had. Pretty soon, though, over the weeks, patients start responding to the meds. Every so often, somebody's able to go home. There's fewer and fewer inpatients at the hospital. And St. Joe's staff starts to think to themselves, "Oh my gosh, we might be out of the woods." And that's when patients start to come back. This time they're saying, "Man, I have this really intense pain, doc, right at the site where I got that injection." They do some scans, and it turns out there is a second illness, a totally new infection, an abscess. And these are happening in people that until now seemed completely and totally healthy. They didn't seem to have fungal meningitis. For Dr. David Vandenberg, this was rock bottom.
It was overwhelming, and I'll tell you.
You didn't know if you were giving them, like, a death sentence,
yeah,
essentially.
I felt, and several of my colleagues felt, that there was a good chance that, you know, most of these patients were going to die. When I was calling them, I felt like I was telling them that they had cancer.
So now St. Joe's is facing a completely new crisis. How do you treat 800 people who may or may not have this second infection? It is kind of like standing on an enormous beach trying to find explosive devices hidden somewhere in the sand, and all you have is one of those metal-detecting wands. In this case, that's an MRI machine, and St. Joe's was about to do something that no other hospital has ever tried. They were going to try and scan all 800 people in the area 24 hours a day. in an already overflowing hospital. Even Dr. Vandenberg says, yeah, this was a little crazy.
Doing 600 or 400 that we did was a gigantic undertaking. It doesn't seem like it would be that much, but you have to understand, we run 97% capacity.
So they flew nurses in from Ohio just to handle the overload. They pulled a trailer up behind the hospital in the parking lot and decked that thing out with more MRI machines. In a month, they had scanned 400 patients. 140 of them had abscesses. Dr. Vandenberg still has literal piles of new test results that he has to go through, and every day he has to make calls and say, I'm so sorry, we found an abscess. The real difference, though, is that because of St. Joe's, those people are much more likely to get treatment in time.
Clearly, patients who didn't get treated early for this when they had meningitis, that's where the majority of deaths across the country came.
Those early deaths include Anita's mom, Karina Baxter, the woman that we were talking about at the beginning of this story. Anita is part of the class action lawsuit against the Massachusetts company that allegedly made these contaminated drugs.
I don't even care about the lawsuit. These people, they kill people. They're murderers. They need to go to prison, not lose their money.
And of course, that is an entire story in and of itself, which is why we're going to do a part two tomorrow. It's the final part of our fungal meningitis series, and it's where we're going to get some answers about who is really to blame for this outbreak and whether Michigan's pain clinics should share in that blame. You can hear that tomorrow. Until then, I'm Kate Wells, Michigan Radio News.